In this episode 287 of the show, sponsored by DRF Sports, we clear up, or I guess go into some more detail about the David Porter situation over the weekend, the DEI committee, all of that stuff, Jordan Lomax, all the good things. We talk about some NFL Hawks in the playoffs. We talk about what happens after the bowl game during that winter break and a bunch of stories and memories in between. You know what it is. Let's have a day. Let's go.
Welcome back, Watch the Walk-Ons fans, episode 287 of the podcast. All three of us here tonight, and I get to sit down with two dudes that are smarter than me and talk about our former players trying to sink the program. So this is going to be a fun time, and I can't wait to say things that I'm not going to regret, but people are going to be mad at me for. Kluver?
You should get a t-shirt that says that, really. Wouldn't that be a good t-shirt, Kev? I can't wait. I can't wait to say things that I'm gonna regret, and that people will hate me for.
No. That I'm not gonna regret.
Oh, that I'm not gonna regret, but people will hate me.
That's a fun t-shirt.
It's a little wordy. We could chop it down somewhere. Who's on the bag of chips there? Is that Tatum?
These are Jason Tatum's Flamin' Hot Barbecue Ruffles, and they're pretty fantastic.
Wow, he's got his own bag of chips. Good for him. I'm pretty sure weren't him and Tyler Cook on the same high school basketball team? Pretty sure. And they were good. They were really good. Tyler Cook really? Make it. What?
Really? You don't say.
Well, I don't think that any team with Kevin Ward would have been able to put up a fight against them. Let's just say that.
Well, granted, since I didn't play you'd be asking my freshman basketball team to play against them, so yeah.
Well, you take on 15-year-old Tyler Cook and Jason Tatum.
It'd still be a tough outing for the Celtics.
The old Celtics. How is it back in the homeland? How are they doing over there?
Enrollment is way down from what I hear. I don't know, but they did just hire a new football coach.
Really?
My head coach, he retired, and they hired a guy who was a couple years older than me, played, obviously, and then he ended up walking out at Notre Dame, played there, GA'd there, coached there for a little bit, and now he's going back to coach the high school up.
Sheesh. They got a good hire then.
That's a pretty good credentialed coach for a high school program.
We'll see how he does.
He must really love Providence Catholic.
Really love.
I think he does. He was he was a GA, and then he his GA term ended and fell into a quality control type spot, wasn't doing in the classroom coaching.
The floater.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the coaching world, man. Tell you what, man. Not the place you'd ever find Tyler Kluver, huh? I couldn't do it. One, because I simply
coach people for a living.
It's different. It's different. I guess maybe it's not different. I don't know. I've never had my dad was my coach, AU basketball starting in third grade. Football in high school, basketball in high school. And never once have I felt even a shred of desire to coach sports teams. Not at all. Not at all.
So you're just going to tell your son to figure it out when he tries to learn how to long snap or what?
Individually at the position, I feel more than qualified to teach him how to do the skill. But as far as you want to know why? I think realistically, I feel severely underqualified knowledge-wise on the general schematics of the game. I've been very open on this podcast that I don't know advanced football concepts, right? Like,
I can line you up and we can run the dive. We can run the little sweep. You know, defensively, I can get you in a base defense. Anything past that, Marshalltown didn't really get that far.
And you didn't pick anything up when Coach Reed dragged you into the linebacker's room?
Fuck no, dude. I was just worried about when he would let me go so I could go eat dinner. I was trying to get some grays, man. I was trying to get a few extra Hawaiian sweet rolls before the lineman rolled through.
Oh, fuck.
Dude, grays is so good.
I miss training tables.
You know what I miss? I miss Mike and Hy-Vee being there for breakfast.
Turkey bacon or ham, bud?
Turkey bacon. I forgot about that. Shout out to Mike, man. For those that
nicest guy ever. Nice.
For those that don't know, after we'd always get these. What was it? Were those just the two choices for like the breakfast protein?
Yeah. So it's like, you know, you go through the line and at the end of the line, it was like your choice of, you know, breakfast meat. Do you want turkey bacon or do you want ham?
Funny. And Mike would always just on cue every
single time. So he's like going through, he's like, got your plate, giving you your fixins. And at the end of the line, it was always turkey bacon or ham, bud.
And it became such a thing that didn't you paint one of our canvases in our house with turkey bacon?
Yeah, I remember, I forget who it was, but somebody turned it into like their Wi-Fi password.
Actually, funny story about Wi-Fi passwords or Wi-Fi names. When I went to Lauren's grandma's down in Nebraska for Christmas, I was trying to get I was fixing her Wi-Fi, right? Because I'm supposed to be the guy who knows how to do that at the family gathering. And as I'm like trying to connect and figure out the password and get in, one of the neighboring networks was these three dudes, evidently, and they named their Wi-Fi network Call Us MILFs. Like, call us MILFs or MILFs call us or something like that. I was like, wow.
Yeah. Without punctuation, it's tough to decipher what they're trying to go after there.
Or maybe
they want to be called MILFs or want MILFs to call them.
Maybe it's just three guys who want to be called MILFs, you know?
Without punctuation. Yeah.
There's a great shirt out there that says MILF and then underneath it, man, I love football. Can't relate. So anyway, let's do a podcast about football. And hey, man.
Speaking of this podcast, you guys know, been talking about it. Brought to you by DRF Sports. That sports book is coming soon. We're real excited about our partnership there. We are thankful that DRF wants to shell out a little cash to sponsor the show, allow us to do some cool things. A lot of fun coming your way. DRF is, of course, the place to do all your betting once we get there, right? DRF Sports is every bettor's dream with exclusive data, betting trends, analytics, and expert advice all in one easy-to-use place. DRF Sports, bet smarter. So,
you know, we got on here and we talked on Sunday about sort of the breaking article that this DEI committee was going to be dissolved and things really, really sort of evolved from there on Sunday. Most notably, Jordan Lomax was active on Twitter and had some things to say.
It takes a lot for him to get on Twitter.
I was surprised. Granted,
but when Lomax speaks, people listen because from what I understand, that tweet went all over the Hawkeye world.
Everywhere. I mean, if you knew anything about the situation going down, you saw the tweet.
Yeah. We're big Jordan Lomax advocates on this podcast, always have been.
I just think it would be very, and Kevin, you can attest to this. You were in the room with him for a while until you got fat and slow.
I was always fat and slow. Eventually they just, you know,
till they figured out.
Until they figured it out.
Yeah.
Phil
just liked him so much, dude. He was Phil's nephew and he just didn't want to let him go.
I think if Kevin wanted to sleep at Phil's house, Phil would be overjoyed. I think he's got a bed.
Yeah. I think he would. I think he would even, yeah, make a bed for him, not make him sleep on the couch.
I think he might tuck him in.
Dude, what bedtime story do you think Phil would have for him?
It was 1982.
Back at Michigan State. You know, back in East Lansing, we did some crazy fucking shit, Ward. Let me tell you about it. I want to know some. That's what I want to know. I want to get Coach Phil Parker.
Coach Phil Parker, college stories?
Yes, please.
Dude, he was an absolute nutcase. Walk-on term, two-time big
entire, that entire generation is built different. Like I've heard stories from my dad, his buddies, and the shit they do at Illinois. I've heard the dudes that played at Iowa back in the 80s with some of their stories. I've heard a couple of Phil stories. Like, these dudes were built different. They
built different.
They did shit, one, that we wouldn't even imagine doing.
Right.
Two, could not possibly get up and practice the next day.
No. No.
Like, just absolute insane shit.
I just know that there was like a solid 15 or 20 years where if you weren't on juice, you were in the minority, at least if you were a big guy.
I think my dad said it was around a quarter to half of the dudes were on juice.
If you're not sticking needles on your arm, in your arm, and you're living in the 1980s, guess what? You're a pussy.
You're behind.
Yeah, but he said, like, you know, it's like back in the day, like, you didn't have summer workouts. Everyone just went home, and then you showed up like for camp.
Fuck.
Like, yeah. A month later, everyone's all deflated.
That's Drake and I's dream.
Dude, if you'd have let me just show up untested after a summer at home. Oh, man.
Drake,
I would have came back looking like Godzilla.
I promise you, Drake, that if those were the rules, when you and I stepped out of Hillcrest in May of 2014, we would have been in trouble because you and I would have immediately got into some shit. And you're right. We would have come back looking like Jay Cutler, like Phil Heath. Probably not that big, but I guarantee you I would have taken something if it was that lax, right?
And dude, my upper body had a tendency to blow up anyways. True. I was a thick upper bodied individual. Yep. And if I'd have been free reigns for 3 months, you know how much bench press I'd have done?
Dude, in preparation for college, the last 3 years, like I want to say sophomore through senior year, I was benching 3 times a week heavy. Like, that's all I did. That's why I couldn't figure out a squat until now at 27 in my life, right? Because all I did was bench. It was
fantastic. Man. So in the 80s, they got hammered and then threw some tea in their ass and went and hit each other. And there was no strike zone. And yep. Now guys, they really out there playing touch.
And they put, yep. And a lot of guys, well, I'm not going to go there.
Strength and conditioning has gotten exponentially
better, so more
kind of offsets the whole juice factor,
dude. Sure. I still think about for any patrons of Iowa City who would frequent the Red Pepper there on Riverside Drive. You go in there, you find some of those old
400 bench club.
Half the team was on it.
RIP to Red Pepper, but
yeah, for real.
But yeah, there was like, yeah. The 400 bench club had half the team. There's a dozen dudes on the 500 bench club. I think in our entire time there, there's like one person that like even was near 500.
Who would it have been?
It was
it wasn't Kelly, was it?
No, I want to say like Dean.
Dean?
I just had some.
Dean could bench 500?
Yeah.
Not quite, but it was up there somewhere ridiculous.
Crazy fuck.
Yeah.
Dude, Dean had a couple. He's got a couple loose, you know. He's just,
bro. I don't know if he's got a couple loose. I don't know if he's got anything attached.
So he has. So they're all loose. There's just nothing there.
Yeah, exactly.
And not to say that he wasn't like that. I mean,
he was an alt. I think I've told this story, but this is like, I think like one of the first episodes I told it, but I had him in my Western Civ class my true freshman year. One day he's asking me about this paper. I'm like, Dean, it was due yesterday.
I mean, hey, I would say two or three times over the course of our nine semesters in college, I showed up prep day, right? Like outline day or whatever, which was supposed to be the day before the test. And turns out the nice students of UI who decided to go to class frequently, they just all decided, let's move it up a day. We'll end class early, which is great. One less class day. But now, study day, question day is going to be test day. So I showed up very lucky and got to take those tests on no prep. And we found a way, boys. We found a way. Always found a way.
We ever going to talk about this shit or what?
David Porter, man. Should we bring him on the podcast?
No.
See, there's always this dilemma, right? So we have this podcast. We have this platform. And every time something like this happens, by the way, some burner account went off on the walk-ons account today about us being...
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, just about us being perpetual racists, supporting a racist program, talking about black...
DMs or adding us?
DMs. No. Yeah, pussy. Just telling us how we are minimizing the black players' experience. So that was a good time to read through that. Pretty cool. That happened.
We haven't talked about this shit in years. How?
I think whoever it was may have found our episode 123, where we talked about back when the shit went down. And then literally made a burner Twitter account just to message us about it. So that's good. Means we're in. I responded to the guy. Hey, we don't have any. We're nobody, guy. Like we don't have any influence on this university or what's going on in the program. Chill the fuck out. And he was just absolutely flustered. Okay.
Some people's lives really suck, man.
Yeah, it's tough out there. So Jordan Lomax came out and said something along the lines of, what was being reported was not quite exactly what was happening. The whole issue was, and it came out later in a tweet that Chad Lystico put out. He received the email that parents got who... he was playing a little bit of catch up, I guess, but he was sort of clarifying to the parents, hey, this is what actually happened. And here's Jordan's tweet. So instead of being, and he retweeted Pat Hardy. I don't know Pat Hardy. Did you guys ever know Pat Hardy, this fucking guy?
No.
You guys have any idea who that is? Okay.
Evan, no, but he's been acting like a real douchebag for a long time, huh?
I get, from what I gather, guy's a cuck. And that's just, it just is what it is. That's not my words. That's Twitter. That's an aggregate of Twitter opinion, right? Now I'm not saying you're a cuck. You may be a cuck, Pat, but I'd have to make that determination on my own. Evidently he's got his own radio show. He is one of them who came out and tweeted the Kirk Ferentz's decision to disband the advisory committee, after just 18 months, and to sever ties with David Porter is an unfortunate step backwards in Ferentz's quest to fix the culture within Iowa football. He had this whole article. Lomax quote tweeted that and said, instead of being so quick to write an article, you guys should have reached out to the other committee members for their thoughts. This is a one-sided article and only David Porter's opinion, which I and others disagreed with. Jordan Lomax, one of the 10 on the committee. And boy, did that fucker blow up. I mean, it was everywhere. And I retweeted it. Kevin, as you said, it takes a lot to get Lomax to actually, put your left foot in and get in the conversation. Pat Hardy responds. He starts tweeting. Several of our former teammates responded. Coop and our friend Marcel both responded trying to question Jordan and where his he was coming from, if he was coming from a bias of being a former employee in the program. I think one of the best tweets I've ever seen was right here. You know, the Haitian prince asked, do you disagree as a former employee or Jordan Lomax? And Jordan said, I disagree as both. I'm in public accounting now, so with no interest in sports. So the angle you're trying to play right there won't work. Had any of y'all made it to the league, y'all wouldn't be suing the university. And that's what we call a fucking bomb drop, my friends.
Yeah, a body bag, a mic drop, end of discussion.
An absolute torching burn of the century. And that, my friends, is so true. It's the most true thing. And, you know, if I said something like that on Twitter, I probably would be dubbed as the clan master. But Jordan says something like that, and it's like, okay, people listen now. That's something. And what do you guys think about that? I mean, that's right. That's 100% right. Those guys are, they have financial motive, and it is what it is. It's super disrespectful and shitty to their former.
But do like they understand how stupid they sound after so many players backed Coach Ferentz and the entire racial scandal that happened at Iowa wasn't even based around Coach Ferentz, and his name got cleared a long time ago, and the players in his program seem to be quite happy. So I'm really wondering how they thought that this was intelligent at all. Like, this is just completely going back on.
You know, they're grasping, and it is what it is. And I don't care. I don't think anything's going to come of that. Now, the one thing I did say on the early podcast from earlier this week was that, that what David Porter had originally said was sent to just the group, the committee group. And I was, Kevin actually, sent me the screenshot of it towards the end of the podcast. This was actually sent to a large multi-hundred person chat of former players that we are all involved in. Dave is where David Porter voiced his opinion about, which is, you know what? The guy's either nuts or has some balls, because he put that in a chat with several people who are on the staff. Like, a couple of those guys now coach, and he wants the whole staff fired and KF. And we saw some interesting discourse there in that chat, and we're not probably going to divulge any of that specifically, but there's some heavy.
To be honest, I would have liked for the discourse to get a little more graphic. I feel like guys really held some punches. I read through it and I was like, man, yeah, they're saying it, but
they're not you, Drake.
There should really be a little more harsh here.
That's why our friend B. Ross suggested that we add you to the chat and we get you going in there. And everybody would just, that chat would drop members quickly. I don't really see a lot of positive things coming out of talking any more of this. I can sense even Kevin's disengagement here in even discussing the topic. And I don't think there's anything that we can really say that's going to advance this. I will say this. I think the guys, David Porter, they have their opinions. He got a little power hungry with his spot, evidently thought he had some decision-making power. I don't think that's what KF had in mind when he appointed him committee of of that. What really is unfortunate, and this goes all the way back. Say it, Drake. I know you got something.
Can we tell the clickbait media to shut the fuck up and stop trying to stir up issues?
That's where I was going next. This is where I get really, I actually, you know, it's tough. And I understand in media, especially if you're struggling, and I don't know if Rob Ho and Pat Hardy are struggling or if they're doing well or whatever. But when all that shit happened back two summers ago in 2020, of course, there was a lot of credible tweets. There was a lot of not credible tweets. There was some in between. And what was unfortunate is that those guys who have developed a following because they are media members and report on the team, they perpetuated one side of the story and retweeted everything they saw without diving into any of it. They retweeted everything as fact, sort of like, hey, this is, you know, and a lot of that was just straight false slander to jump on a bandwagon that was going on. Not to say that some of it wasn't legit, but you know, a lot of it was tough. And that builds a narrative in the media and around a subject that is, it grows to something that it isn't, right? Sometimes if it's the other way around, something that should be a huge topic of discussion or whatever, and certain media members decide not to report on it or not to say anything about it, that does a disservice to certain pieces of news and topics as well. So just seems like a couple guys don't quite do their job the way it's supposed to be done. And there's a lot of them that do. And, you know, I think eventually the good win out. So that's all I got to say on that. Drake, if you'd like to talk about chopping Porter's nuts off or anybody else's nuts off, you can.
I'm good. You said it.
Cool. All right. Now, what do we have to talk about? What do we have to talk about? We got a couple questions from, well, the men came back to campus this past week. Yesterday was their first day of classes, Martin Luther King Day on Monday. Tuesday back yesterday was their first day. And we had a couple questions about what the bowl break looks like from the time you walk out of the stadium. This specific person asked, like, hey, I think I saw like multiple players walking away with their families, not going home with the team. How does that work? What does it look like from the time you leave a bowl game, literally walking out of the locker room, to the time you come back? So I guess we'll start with that. What did you guys, you know, the first part was always at bowl trips and at the Big Ten Championship. They always stay the night of the game. And as opposed to normal away trips, they leave the day of. What did you guys focus on most as you got away for the 2.5-3 weeks as we would get away at the time of the middle of the school year? Kevin?
I think the person was a little bit curious about the logistics too.
Logistics as well, yeah.
So like Clue said, you stayed the night after the game, and then the team flight back to Iowa was the next morning. Mm-hmm. Now, you actually had the option whether you wanted to fly back with the team or not, or you could take a flight to wherever you wanted to go. If you wanted to go back home,
and the team would
go on a vacation or whatever.
Team pays for it.
The team will pay for one flight.
One flight.
If you want to go to Mexico, I don't think you go international. I don't, whatever. If you wanted to go to Florida, if you weren't already in Florida, you could take that flight, and then you'd have to pay your own way for a flight back. But yeah, you could take a flight to anywhere you want. Some people just stayed like in Tampa for an extra week and then flew back to Iowa then. I always flew back with the team and then drove home either that day or the following day and just kind of spent my 2-3 weeks at home.
Yeah, Kevin's boring as shit, and so am I, and so is Drake. Drake, you always flew home with the team as well?
Sure did, man. And I drove the 40 minutes home to Muscatine and didn't leave until I had to.
Back to Muscat Dream, huh?
Somebody's dream. It wasn't mine.
That break after the season, like, it's a long-ass season. It's you're worn out. You just kind of want to put your feet up for a little bit.
It's the mental more than anything.
Yeah. I always wanted to make sure I got to see my high school buddies too. Just kind of refresh, dude. You just need to get away from them for a little bit. Everyone needs it.
Especially when you lose.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough. You go 14, 15, throw the weeks of camp on there. Realistically, you do get a week before camp in between summer and that, but you feel like you've been training through summer as well. So that's a long, long time, man. And during the season, you get the bye week to maybe see family for a day. I don't know. Did you guys ever go home for the bye week?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, for like a day or two. But then
you usually go home Friday, be back Sunday.
But then you're back and it's an absolute grind. And a lot of those guys just need time off to not think about football in any way. Granted, there was a training card, right? There is a piece to it where you have to stay. You can't get pregnant, right? As we've made the joke several times on this show before. How did you guys approach, because this is going to be different between you guys and me, because you guys were always just coming out of game shape. How did you guys approach training when we went home for those 2.5 weeks?
Just did the card, what they gave us. Yeah.
Just the card.
Yeah. I never did anything really.
Cause it was a really light card.
It was a pretty light card. Devo guys that weren't playing, they were training through the whole break. The guys that were in the two deep roster spots usually had a week scheduled off of just not doing anything. And then 2 weeks of light work. Yeah, I usually just kind of stuck to that.
Kevin was always in condition. I, however, fat boy, I was running my tail off and I was doing CrossFit. And I know Doyle hated that, and that's okay. And I hope the next time I see Coach Doyle, he calls me Froning, because that would be great. And I look more like Froning now.
You think you're going to see him again?
Fuck yeah. You don't think you're ever going to see Coach Doyle again in your life?
I would have banked on no more than yes.
Really?
Where do you think you're going to see him at, Clove?
I mean, where are me and Coach Doyle's paths going to cross? It's not going to be at an Iowa reunion.
I just have a feeling that at some point, somewhere, it'll happen.
Man changed his phone number.
Did he?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think we'll cross paths again.
All right.
Anyway, I would run my ass off during breaks because I knew what was coming. How would you, the first 8 weeks of spring before spring ball is a, how would you describe it, Kevin? Is it a GPP phase in general? No,
it's honestly some of my favorite training.
I would agree. Yeah. I would agree.
Yeah. So you do like 4 weeks of just kind of building yourself back up to like get to the spot where you can train at a high level. And then it's like 4 weeks of really intense lifting. That's like probably that it's the heaviest lifting you'll do all year.
It's an 8 week strength cycle that is intense.
Yeah. And well, that's got my name written all over. So I always enjoyed it. And then you're into spring ball, but yeah, that's when you hit the weights hard.
That was the 8 weeks where in Hillcrest N320, I was staying up way too late, watching Netflix till 12:30, sometimes 1 o'clock in the morning. And then Drake and I would let that alarm rip at about 5:15. And I thought that 4.5 hours of sleep was going to help me reach my goals, evidently, as a freshman. And so,
dude, I don't know what it is. Like, I like hardly remember our second semester in Hillcrest. Like, I don't remember doing anything. Like, I remember our first semester.
Sure.
Like, being in the dorms during the season. I don't remember doing anything like the second semester in Hillcrest.
I remember it. I remember it. Drake and I played Miley Cyrus loud all the time. And it was fantastic. Drake also almost had to take somebody's head off, who tough guy of our floor, who was punching mirrors one night. I guess it was less memorable. I don't know. Burger Bar came around.
I do remember we were playing with like the throwing knives. I don't know if we should say that, but
well, Yeah, there were throwing knives. So there's a
I bought throwing knives.
There's a cork board, bulletin board in every room of Hillcrest, at least when we were there, there was. And we also had a poster of Kate Upton in a swimsuit on the wall. And I think at some point she became just a target. And that sounds bad, but it really wasn't in some like weird sadistic way. It was more like, hey, can you hit her shoulder? Can you hit her kneecap? Hit other parts of her body? I don't know. with throwing knives from, I don't know, 8-10 feet away. The rooms weren't that wide. And that's what we did for fun. And yeah, the second semester, what the freshmen are going to enter right now is a real critical spot in their first year because they are going to be tested for the first time in the weight room at the same time as being tested in the classroom, right? You're now, you got your freshman course out of the way, like your fuck my UI worth one credit. Now you've actually, you know, you should know what you're doing, less handholding. And now they have to take a real course schedule and lift early in the morning. And sometimes that moped doesn't turn over. Hey, and guess what? You're walking. You're making the walk. Kevin, you're smiling over there. What are you giggling about?
Funny, man. It's just kind of funny. The walk is not quite as far. They're in Peterson now, not in Hillcrest anymore.
Okay. So, okay. Take off.
Knock off a couple minutes. Ooh, I don't know if they can go through the hospital right now with COVID and everything.
Probably not. Probably not. Tough. So they have to take.
If you're walking, you can't go through the hospital. That'd be tough.
I'll just never forget the time that Drake and I were almost late to the God, what was it called? The FMS. Oh fuck! I'll just never forget. Has your heart ever dropped more, Drake?
Yeah, but I mean, that was pretty bad.
We woke up at 6:08 and FMS was at 6:20. Hey, guess what?
Tell you about the time this was week one, Northern Illinois, 2013.
Jesus.
And it's Monday morning. We have Devo lift at 6 a.m. So I set a 5:15 alarm. Hit it. LaShawn's like out. Fast asleep. I'm like, okay, I got a little bit more snooze. Goes off again. LaShawn snoring. Snooze. Hit it again. It's like 5:40 now. I was like, hey, dude, do you think we should go? He's like, oh, dude, I'm not lifting. I'm in the advanced group. I'm like, oh, shit.
Motherfucker, man.
Yeah. Sprint over and like just barely get into the indoor before Doyle walks in.
You ran? Oh, no.
No, no, I know. I had my moped, but
oh, okay. Yeah, I guess it would have been. Dude, that's tough because LaShawn was getting reps. He was in line to get reps.
Yeah, that's right. He was in the two deep, and also he didn't need to lift three times a week as a freshman.
Did I ever tell you about the time where Marshall Kane absolutely fucked me? I mean, not sexually. I mean, it could have been, but so we come in our freshman year. I'm second string long snapper, right? There was only two of them on the roster. It was Casey Kreider and me. So we get to week, I don't know, four or five of the season. And he made a determination one week that was like, hey, the two deeps are not running today, or they're doing something different for their shakeout or whatever, right?
This is like a Sunday after a game, right? I think yep. I remember this.
Yep. So I go up to Marshall and I'm taking shit literally. I don't understand. Like it's more of a concept, this two deep, than it is actual on paper. And Marshall he hung me out to dry, dude. And I'll never forgive him for this. I go up to Marshall and I say, Marshall, like he said, two deeps. They don't have to run. They're going to go inside and do like some stretch or something. Should I ask Coach Doyle if I'm in that group or not? Like if I can, and you know me, dude, I was like, I don't want to run. There's no fucking way I want to run. I don't care if it's barefoot 55s plus eights, dude. Give me
Marshall shouldn't
He probably knew the answer.
100% knew the answer, dude, because he didn't eat. Mike Meyer was the kicker that year. He didn't even run in the two deeps. He wasn't. He had no plan on running. And if anything, the 2 years older Marshall Kane would have been in that two deep group, the conceptual two deep group. He goes with a straight face. He goes, "Yeah, man, you should probably go ask Doyle about that one." God damn it, man. So I go up to Coach Doyle, timid as shit. I mean, I probably looked like a fucking baby giraffe walking up to Coach. And I'm like, Coach. You said, and I fumble through my words and I explain, like, you said that the two deeps are not running today. Like, am I in that group? And he doesn't say a word to me. He just looks at me, gives me like this confused, like
this kid's been here for 4 weeks. If I have to run.
and doesn't say a word, confused, almost like a look of, are you asking me to throw your ass off the team right here? And just walks away. No words said. Okay. First of all, I was scared to ask him a question for 2 years after that. Okay. Until I had 20 starts deep in me and we were 10-0 in the 2015 season, I still had an anxiety of going up and asking him a question because of how stupid I fucking looked. And it's part Marshall Kane's fault. That was bad. But yeah, the freshmen are starting to feel good about themselves.
Until their first spring ball, until they do 15 practices and then don't get to play games afterwards, they're going to be really pissed.
Well, yeah, that was, we know how you hated practice, Drake. We know how you didn't like it. What was the, Kevin mentioned there's a sort of like a two, I don't know if we did it for two. I think we did it for 2 weeks, the actual GPP workouts. We're talking conditioning that is not just running focused, right? You're not just running across a field. You're doing more what we would probably call grunt work for the average person. You're swinging ropes, you're flipping tires, you're using the sledgehammer. Yeah, you're pushing sleds, you're pulling sleds, picking up sandbags. Kettlebell circuit. What was the worst GPP you ever went through? And do you have any funny GPP stories from the first couple weeks of the new year in January? Or memories from GPP, specific memories? I have one specifically of Hank and Doozy making the sleds look like they had no weight on them. And I did my first push and was a little confused. I thought there's no way that the same amount of weight is on these two sleds.
You'll see like two guys like in the same like group, whether they're linemen or skill. And one guy is literally just pushing the sled like it's nothing. And one guy is doing like the slow one, like a foot at a time. Like one guy looks like he's running. The other guy looks like he's walking.
Like he's rucking up a mountain.
Exactly. I'm gonna say that Prowlers were the toughest early, but I remember them being super easy our last few years.
Prowler, yeah.
The first time I ever did Prowlers in Iowa, I got the jelly legs, could hardly walk down the steps, and I had the Prowler flu. And I remember going to the Powerade machine and getting myself a cup of Powerade and then going and laying in one of the stalls, and I proceeded to puke and have diarrhea.
I got Prowler flu one time. Yep.
It made you shit yourself?
Yeah, bro. I missed my class that day too. I was laying on the floor of the old bathroom in one of the stalls and just mixing shit and diarrhea for like half, or I mean puke and diarrhea for half an hour.
Man.
I'm going to say, you know what, as we got older, I'm going to say ropes was the hardest because it was really about how much you could push yourself. And if you were like really pushing yourself, I think that would be the hardest one.
I agree.
Dude, try breaking your leg after they fell in love with ropes. The amount of ropes that I did pre-senior year, I mean, I probably swung that rope 7 million times.
Like we said, the prowler.
Better, doing the ropes or the Kaiser bike?
Oh, the ropes were way better than the bike, dude.
Is the bike the worst? Is the bike the worst thing?
Dude, we're not Lance Armstrong. We're power athletes. Like, we train to produce the most force possible in a short spurt, and then they put us on these torture machines and say, go suck this bike's dick for a half hour. Let me know how it tastes.
I'll be honest, though, dude.
Broken your ankle. Which was the worst bike? The
air bike
cycle? Kaiser or assault bike?
The assault bike hurt the worst, but the normal bike was just the most torturous because the song that never ended, dude.
100%.
And they'd be right over your shoulder because it's not like the strength coaches had shit to do. Keep it above 90. And then they just go back to talking shit. Keep it above 90.
You think they might be looking while you're going up a hill? It drops to like 88 real quick. Keep it above 90. Yeah.
Motherfuck. So I did not ride a bike one time. I mean, I know you guys won't find that as a shock, but so I never had experience on like an air bike. I only know of air bikes, right? Because that's what's in CrossFit. The Rogue Echo bike is even worse than the assault bike, as far as like getting it to crank wattage and calories. And I know that if you want a good workout any day of the week, anytime, just do 10 or 15 calorie sprints or 10 or 15 second sprints on that bike and then rest 2 minutes.
That was like their favorite. Do like it's a 10 calories every minute on the minute for like 6 minutes, two sets of six or something like that. Yeah.
Two sets of eight.
That'll kill the layman Cheeto finger out there. They'd kill over.
No Cheeto finger would make it through the first set of eight. Zero Cheeto fingers would make it through the first set of eight.
Calling all Cheeto fingers out there, all of you listening, go to your local gym, or if you have one, that would be, first of all, a fucking shocker. But if you can get access to a assault bike or an echo bike, go and do 10 calories on the minute, every minute, six sets. And if you make it six sets, then try to go in, you know, rest 5 minutes and do another set of six and tell me how you feel. We'd love a report back. I always found it interesting that as we headed into this time of year, you start to see leaders emerge. Mm-hmm. And that was my favorite thing. There were 12 Saturdays, and a lot of people on the outside probably thought that, like, okay, you get 12 game days. Those are the days to shine. Those are what you work for. And to a lot of the extent, yes, that is true. For someone like me, a long snapper, you know, I got 8 reps on those days, right? I probably got more action. I could really set that up for a joke. I'm just not going to do it.
Yeah, I was thinking the same joke, bro.
You could get more action in Summit on a Thursday night than you could, than I did in a game. But the, you know, practices were more exciting for me. My game days were when I got to race, you know, Drake and Kevin and Josie and Bo in ground start chasers in the off season, or when we were doing, you know, some fun competitive stuff. And
dude, I'm just going to stop you right there, man. That's one of the things I miss, is like really fun competitive workouts with your boys. I miss that shit so much.
Honestly, Drake's story today sort of prompted the question. Like, on Drake's Instagram, there's a guy who is riding the bike. He's riding the assault bike, and Drake is like clowning behind him, like, you know, doing his thing. He's in there with his boys. And I'm telling you, man, like that time from you, the time you step in, you start doing GPP workouts in January through really that spring semester and you need a mental break. You come back and you do it again in the summer. Those are the most missed times of college for me. And it was really, really fun to watch guys who basically
watch all of us get better at squat and you not.
It was fucking awesome to watch everybody's maxes go up and just watch mine stay the same. It was unbelievable, honestly. I'd do it again. I do remember thinking though when we came in and we had those old kilo plates in the old weight room. I remember thinking like whatever the combination was for like 284 or 287, we had like the picture charts to show us. I remember thinking I'll never clean that. Like there's no way I'll ever clean that much weight. And then a couple of years later, like you're doing it for a set of three or whatever. Of course, Drake was doing it like immediately because it's evidently all they do in Muscatine or whatever. But like what, how does a guy go about in this period as a young guy, maybe a first or second year guy? What are the actionable steps to take now that it's a new season? Potentially you're stepping up into a new role. How does a young guy, what's the blueprint for that, Kev? You somehow became a fucking captain. I mean, tell us how you did it.
Behave like an older guy. Don't be someone that the coaches have to worry about, watch over, babysit, you know. Show up early, show up enthusiastic, go to work, smash workouts, be enthusiastic about it, have good body language around the complex.
How do you know
the easiest way to gain respect amongst a bunch of dudes who want to be alphas is to smash them in the same thing that they're having trouble at doing. Yep. So like if you just like Josie,
yep,
smashed us in conditioning, dude, he was really good in all of the training. It's not like he was a weight room monster, but at all the shit that we competed in, he was fucking right at the top. And yep, then we'd go out to conditioning and he beat us every time. And it just was like, we were all impressed with him from the jump and it just continued to grow from there. It just, that's the way it works, is if you continuously beat people who are considering themselves the top of the or cream of the crop, you know, you get their respect.
You earn that respect. How do you know when to open your mouth and be a vocal leader? Any answer for that? Or is it just feel?
I think you know.
You just know?
You know. You know. People around you know.
Yeah, I don't think there's any real equation for that whatsoever. I think once you earn it, you just know.
And it's different like in different groups. If you're like in a group of...
That's true.
The young guy in the group, it'd be weird. But if it's a bunch of freshmen, like, yeah, obviously you can open your mouth and say something. But, you know. Eventually you get to the point where you could be a sophomore and you could be chewing out a senior, or, you know, it gets to the point where like everyone understands in the building, like, you know, who's got some respect, who's got some swagger around, and just, I don't know, spend time with a group of people. You will figure out who the leaders are. It'll just naturally happen.
Yeah. I think one of the most fascinating things about an environment like a Division I football program, and I wish, Kevin, that they would do that. I wish somehow there was like this $50,000 experience where for a week you got to live the life of an Iowa football player. Along, it's like when they go to Jurassic Park and you can see the dinosaurs, baby. Like, come and hang out with the T-Rex. And Drake is that fucking T-Rex. And there he is in the squat rack passing out under 400 pounds, right? And you could be right next to him doing your 135 for four. And like, you know, you could pay and have that experience, because I think people would gain and that's, you know, that's part of the reason we do this podcast, but you can only hear us. You can hear us describe environments and the ways things work. But if you could somehow see the way that guys entered the building, the way they had like held their head as they walked through, who they talked with, who they interacted with, what they said to the coaches, how early they got out to the weight room, who was first to the one of the fuck. Oh my God. It still fucking irks me to this day that when we would break, we'd pull it up. Doyle would kind of give us the rah rah for the day. Hey, this is the mission for these 2 hours. Let's do it. And we would break and everybody jogs over to their rollers. It was a fucking dead sprint to the rollers. Everybody would run their ass off because for some reason it's competitive.
They never told us like go run to your station.
No, you were just running to the warm-up. Yeah. Not even the warm-up. You're like rolling out muscles to get to the warm-up and people are sprinting. How they go about rolling their muscles, just everything, all encompassing. People would gain a whole new respect for that. And the hierarchy of leadership and like you said, Kevin, sort of that like swagger level that I don't even know what you would call it, the social currency of the team, right? The hierarchy of that. It is a fascinating thing that just sort of, when you spend that much time together, it just happens. Yeah, I guess I'm looking at some of these questions that have been submitted over the time. I don't know if any of them are really worth our time. You guys got anything else you want to talk about? Talk shit about? Kev, we talked about on Dickhead Tuesday. Well, we talked about a lot of things. First of all, people loved me talking about the softcore porn from Basic Acting, getting a great response on Twitter. And so that's fun. And we talked about the upcoming weekend where 7 of the 8 NFL teams have...
All 8, Dickhead. All 8.
All 8? Yes.
Mike Daniels.
Mike got pulled up from the P-Squad.
That's right.
All 8 teams have Hawkeyes. What excites you about the upcoming weekend in the NFL?
Oh, dude, that Chiefs-Bills game's got... Oh, it's going to be a damn good football game.
Money bag.
We talked about it, man. That's the AFC championship game right there.
Man, I don't know. I don't know. I think the Titans win this weekend, right? I think everyone does.
Yep.
More than likely, yeah.
I wouldn't look past the Titans, dude.
No, but I'm just saying those are the number one and two best teams in the AFC, in my opinion.
Probably the way they're playing right now.
And those are two of the 3 best teams in the NFL.
I think the Packers Niners game will be a good game too.
Yeah, it is. Especially because of how well the Niners won.
I think we got 4 good football games.
4 great football games, man.
Yeah. Who do you guys like?
Well, I think, did we talk about that, Drake?
No, we didn't. And here are my picks.
All right,
the Titans. The Bills.
Ooh.
Tampa. And Bang Bang Niner Gang.
Wow.
You're taking the Niners over the Pack, bruh.
All right. I'm going to go with the Titans, the Packers. I think the Rams can get it done here in a short week. They prayed really well. And does anyone know if Tristan's going this week?
I haven't asked.
If Tristan's not going this week, you know, the Rams have a really good defense.
A really good defensive line
versus a, you know, I know we said it last week. It didn't pan out, but the Bucs are missing some of their dudes. You get pressure with 4 dudes on Tom Brady and he's missing a couple of his weapons, I think that could cause problems for them.
So Von Miller.
The NFL really fucked him over with the short week, but.
True.
I like the Rams, I think. And then, man, I don't know in this Bills-Chiefs game. I really don't.
It's close. I've got the lines pulled up right here. I'm seeing Green Bay.
I'm leaning Bills, I think.
Wow. Okay. Tennessee is -3.5. Green Bay is -6, dude. Wow. That seems like a lot. But hey,
I think Rodgers and the boys are coming to play this year.
What do you think about this? Drake and I made the comparison that Lambeau, when it gets cold and it's dark, it's got this similar magic to Kinnick. Like it's sort of the
I'd say Lambeau is like, and I've never been, but I've kind of heard this from people that have gone. is like the most college-like environment in the NFL, as far as like the tailgating around it and the atmosphere inside of it. It's like very college feel.
It's just one of those things. Like if you play KF and the boys late in the season and it's in Kinnick, you don't want a piece of that. Similar to,
yeah, bro. The Niner gang is not the smart pick here. It's just, but it's where my heart lies.
Can't go. You can't get away from Georgie boy.
Dude, I've just really enjoyed watching that squad play over the past few years.
They are fun. They are fun.
I like watching the Niners offense, man. I think Kyle Shanahan does some pretty nifty shit. And I'll tell you.
I like watching the Niners defense.
I love watching Deebo Samuel play.
Yeah.
He's a freak.
That dude is fun to watch.
Tampa Bay is -3 over the Rams, and Kansas City I'm seeing anywhere from 1.5 to 2.5, depending on the book.
Kevin loves that -3 Tampa Bay line. He's taking +3 the Rams all day.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to put in a little Benton boys parlay this weekend.
We need to, dude. We need to.
Let's get tasty. Let's throw some cash at it, huh?
Bro, I went 4 for 5 in both of those parlays.
I know. So sick. I'll give
Eagles
my
fucked me, and then I had the under in 16 points by the Steelers scored, and they scored 21. So that one stupid fumble recovery for a touchdown fucked me.
I'll give my picks too. I think Tennessee wins. I really think Cincinnati is going to make it a close game though. I'm tempted to pick Cincinnati in that one, but I'll go with the chalk here.
I don't trust Cincinnati's defense, especially if the Titans are getting Derrick Henry back.
Yeah, I agree. I'll take the Packers. I'm gonna take the Rams, and I also am gonna take Buffalo. Kansas
City. So you guys, you and Kevin are the exact same, and I've got two picks that you guys.
No, you pick Cincy.
No, I'm gonna pick Tennessee, but I
take the Titans.
Yeah, I really do want to take the bank. I just like
watching. Fun to watch. They got some offensive weapons.
I think I'm slightly attached to him because in my family fantasy league, I won, and Joey B was my QB, so he took me to the promised land. But yeah, it is going to be. It's four games. The best part is when it gets to this point in the season, they're all laid out so that you don't miss any of them, right? Like, you know, during the regular season, if
the only thing I don't like is that the late game, which I really am interested in, is also around the same time as
the fights.
Insane UFC pay-per-view card.
Ngannou, right?
Yeah, man. So I'm really kind of bummed that I'm going to have to figure out a way to get both of those at the same time.
Who is Ngannou fighting?
Ciryl Gane, who is an unbelievable kickboxer who has the skills to beat Ngannou in a 5-round fight. It's going to be tough for Ngannou to win this one just on the scorecards. He's going to have to find a way to knock him out because he can't beat him in 5 rounds.
Francis Ngannou is maybe one of the scariest individuals I've ever seen in my life.
Yes. Yeah, he's probably the world's scariest individual right now because regardless if he wins or loses a professional mixed martial arts match, just like from pure terror standpoints, he's probably number one.
You know, when we did that theoretical out of 100, he's that guy.
He's that guy.
He's that guy if you pull 1 million, right? Like pull 1 million, pull 100 million. He's number one out of that group of people. How many people on the Ciryl Gane guy, he has a chance to beat him, but if it was
in a mixed martial arts match.
Just points.
Yes.
But if it was a fight to the death, how many people on earth?
Zero.
Nope. Nobody on earth could beat this guy in a fight to the death, bare hands.
As long as there's no outside
John Bones
resources. No fucking prayer in a fight to the death.
Yeah.
No prayer.
And God is number one, huh?
Number one.
God, that's fun. I love that. I love that. I can't wait until you two roll together. I can't wait.
Me and Ngannou?
No, you and Kevin. Yeah, you and Francis. Oh. You and Francis. to the death.
No, don't put that person's hands on me. Jesus, he'd pump all of my limbs off.
I'd love to watch it. For all the shit you've given me over the years, I'd love to just sick Francis Ngannou on your ass.
Dude, I learned an unbelievable new transition today that is absolutely filthy.
All right. We don't have to hear about you transitioning. That's for another podcast. 287. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Hope you guys enjoy watching Hawks in the NFL this weekend. It's going to be a fantastic weekend. If we have a decision early and we do a little Benton Boys parlay, maybe we make a graphic and we'll throw it out there for y'all to ride with.
We're making a Benton Boys parlay.
Yeah, we'll sweat with it. So thank you guys for listening. As always, sign up for the Patreon if you haven't and you're interested in extra content. The DHT this week was just chef's kiss. Beautiful. And that's patreon.com/washupwalkons. And 287 brought to you by DRF Sports. Again, they just released their sports book and we got a bunch
of iHeartRadio paid us yet?
Yes.
They did.
Just for the for the first 6 weeks we did with them. They bought themselves a little time. A lot of shit going on. Thanks, DRF, to sponsoring the podcast. We will talk to you guys next time. Peace.